worship.
Leviticus chapter 23, verses 26 through 32 says, Leviticus chapter 23, verses 26 through 32. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Also on the tenth day of this seventh month is a day of atonement. It will be a holy convocation to you. You shall make low your souls, and will bring forward an offering made by fire unto the Lord. Any work you will not do in it, in this day. For this is being to you a day of atonement, to make atonement for you before the Lord your God. Every soul who will not be made low in it, in this day, will be cut off from his people. And any soul who will do work in it, in this day, that soul will be destroyed out of his people. Any work you will not do. It is an eternal law unto your generations in all your dwellings. It will be to you a Sabbath of Sabbaths. And you will make low your souls from the ninth of the month. From evening until evening you will celebrate the Sabbath of your Sabbaths." And Leviticus 16 also deals with this most important day. Unless the Holy Spirit conveys to us the gravity of today's message, we won't get it. I won't get it. Only the Holy Spirit can make that real to us, and because we're looking at the sixth of the seven set times of God's sacred calendar. It's the Day of Atonement. It's referred to as Yom Kippur. But as the Day of Atonement in the Scriptures is referred to as the day, it's the day of the Lord, it's the great and terrible day. It is the awesome day, it is the day. And it is the day that we will stand before God. How we get here is depicted in the previous feasts. Remember the first three feasts. The first feast is what? Passover. Jesus gave his life to be our Savior and Lord on Passover. We need to accept him as our Savior and Lord. The week following Passover is the second feast, and it's the feast of what? Unleavened bread. Jesus was buried in time for that feast. Wonder why he didn't stay on the cross any longer than he did. One of the reasons was he was going to be sure he was going to be in the grave before sunset. Before this feast began. He is the sinless Son of God, isn't he? He never sinned. And he died for us. He was buried. So he is to model for us how we're to live a sinless life. After we accept Jesus Christ as Lord and our Savior, we are to live a life of purity and devotion to him without sin. In the middle of that week is the third feast. And that third feast is what? First fruits. Jesus rose from the dead on first fruits, on that Sunday morning, to be the first fruits of us all, so that in him we're raised with him as a new creation, and one day we'll be raised to be with God forever, as he is our first fruits. And he is the one that provides for us our position as new creations, so that we can, in him, live that holy life. Those three feasts go together. They're joined together. Jesus has fulfilled them, and we are to be experiencing their meaning in our life. The fourth feast falls on its own, away from the first three and before the last three. And the fourth feast is what? Pentecost. What did the Lord do to fulfill that day and begin to fulfill that feast? He sent the Holy Spirit in order to enliven those who follow him. And that's how it's supposed to be with us. We have the Holy Spirit the moment we believe in Jesus Christ. The Spirit is placed within us. He seals us. He's what guarantees that our position in Christ will be experienced. It's the down payment that God gives, and whenever God makes the down payment, he's good on the rest. But the Spirit is given to us entirely into our spirit. Our spirit is connected with him. But Pentecost reflects how that the Spirit, we're allowed in our experience, we're to allow the experience of the Spirit to flow through us and to fill us. To fill us in our soul and be manifested through us physically. We are to be doing that now. Matthew blew the horn and did a lot better than I did starting off last week. And didn't he, Rosalie? He did better, didn't he? We looked at last week. The last three feasts go together. The first one is the blowing of that trumpet. It was used to call people to worship, but it is also, that sound one day will be the end. This world as we know it, and however we have chosen to live our life, that's the way it'll be when that trumpet sounds. That's it. This feast we're looking at today follows after that trumpet. Once that trumpet sounds, then what follows is the Day of Atonement, is the Day of the Lord. We need to be ready for that trumpet sound when the Lord comes, because we will stand before God on this day, in fulfillment of this day, the Day of Atonement, the Day of the Lord. So we must be prepared. This feast begins at sunset tonight. The trumpet has not yet sounded from heaven. Christ has not yet come. So the good news is for us today, we can today be ready for the coming of the Lord by the decisions that we will make today. If we're ready when He comes, we're ready. If we're ready when He comes, we're ready to stand before God. That's the wonderful thing about it. If we make sure, each of us, that we're ready for the sounding of the trumpet, then we'll be ready to stand before God. I want us to look at 10 acts, 10 things that we need to do in order to be ready for this great day. 10 things. And work out, so all of them start with the letter R, just to have some continuity with them. And if I don't get to 10, somebody remind me and I'll see which ones I've missed. Seventh month, the first of the month, is the Feast of Trumpets. Seven is perfection. That's the end times. That's when it all ends. The 10th of that month, which has the number 10 in the Scripture, has to do with completion. This is the Day of Atonement. The 10th of the 7th is the Day of Atonement. And so we're going to look at 10 things that we need to do today, to be ready. We need to realize that we'll be rewarded on that day. If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you've invited Him into your heart at some point in your life, and you know for sure that you've made that decision, you'll be rewarded with heaven. You'll be rewarded with the complete experience of your position in Christ. You'll be rewarded to be able to share in all eternity all that Christ is and all that He has. That's a great reward, isn't it? And if no matter what's happened this week, no what's happened already this morning, if right now we dedicate ourselves to walk with Christ step by step, this step, and depend upon Him, if we have that commitment in our heart right now, if that's what we're doing right now, Lord, I'm depending upon You, believing I've died with You as that crucified old creation. I'm depending upon You because I believe I've risen with You as a new creation. Lord, that's what I'm doing right now as I'm hearing and listening to your message this morning. I'm doing that right now. If the trumpet sounds, you'll be able to stand before your Lord one day and say, I was on the path. I was following You. You have that opportunity right now. I have that opportunity right now. And if we stay on that path, we can hear our Lord reward us one day in the words of the parable He said, when we stand before our Master and Him say to us, well done, you good and faithful servant. What a reward that will be. Would you not testify in agreement that whatever heaven is, whatever glories are there, to stand before your Lord and look Him in the face for the first time and see Him, the one who loves you so much and gave you so much, and for Him to say to you, well done. Will there be any reward greater than that? Heaven after that is just going to be, okay, just it's good to be here, but my Lord is pleased with me. In this land, in this valley of this world, in rebellion against God, in rebellion against Him, I was faithful to Him. I was faithful to Him. On the same point about reward, the flip side of that is there is punishment. We decide which one we get on this day. If we do not accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior in this life, if right now we have never accepted Him into our heart and life, when that trumpet sounds, it'll be too late and we will be cast out forever from the presence of God and spend eternity in hell and eventually the lake of fire, which are all ways to say to us, you want to know what it's like to be forever without God and being in His presence? When that happens, we will wish it was only a lake of fire in what we can imagine. It is a lake of fire, but the torment of that is beyond what we can even imagine. We need to be ready. We need to make sure that we accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior so that we can be rewarded with heaven and not be punished with hell. Also, those of us who know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, it doesn't stop there. If that trumpet sounds and we're living as an old creation, we're living like we want to do, we're living just really, or living on our own, we might as well not even be saved because we're doing what we want to do, how we want to do it, when we want to do it. We have our position in Christ, but how we're living makes a mockery of that position. I think it's at least suggested when the writer of Hebrews says, hey, you're treading underfoot the blood of Christ. He died to give you your position, and you're walking around as if you don't even believe in Him. You're not even living by faith in Him. If He comes at that moment, if that's how we're living right now, and that trumpet sounds, and we stand before our Lord, we will know something of how Peter felt when he was denying his Lord, and the Savior was led by, and Jesus looked at him, and Peter caught the look in his eyes, and he went out and wept bitterly. How, you talked about a horrible, terrible day this day can be. It can be a wonderful day. It can be the great day when we're rewarded with heaven and by our Savior, but it can be a terrible day if we have to stand before our Lord and see that look that Peter saw. That Peter saw. I loved you. I gave my life for you. I made it all possible for you. All I ask you, just believe in me. Live for me. Be faithful to me. Love me. And you did. A terrible day. Second R is responsible. I don't know about you, but don't you know that God is tired of everybody blaming everybody else for what they do? So many people. It's always somebody else's fault. The way I am, for what I do. It's my parents' fault. It's my spouse's fault. It's my brother's fault, my sister's fault. It's always somebody else's fault. On this day, we will be so acutely aware when we stand before God, our life has been and was our responsibility. it'll be so clear that we won't even think to try to blame somebody else, because we will see the truth and realize fully, if we never have before, what I did in the circle and sphere of my life, that was me. I chose to do it. Now, I could have had pushes and pulls on me from other people trying to get me to be a certain way and to do a certain thing, but what I did and how I acted, I made that choice and had to give the account of the responsibility before God. In this country, if we stand before God and have never accepted Jesus Christ in the Lord and Savior, when we have heard about the gospel and what He's done for us from childhood, and how many times have we heard about what Jesus has done for us? Over and over and over and over and over again, when so many people in the world never hear that clear message. They have to follow God's witness through creation and God's gentle leading in their heart and life. And yet we've heard that message so many times, and still, if we reject Jesus Christ, that's going to be a bad day before God. Because we're responsible. And in those for us to know the Lord, we have been shown the way. We have been given a understanding of the way. We know. Who among us in here does not know how we're supposed to live that life of faith? That we have been crucified with Christ. We have been raised with Him. We know that Jesus is the way, and we know something of that way in which we're to live that out. A revelation and understanding, again, people of faith throughout the centuries and around the world would love to understand. Many ones who cling to Christ and cling to the Lord by faith, even though they don't understand, they just cling to Him. If we do not walk the way, and we stand before the Lord, been given this much grace, how great that responsibility and the accountability we will have for that. Number three, regret and remorse. This is saying sorry. Right now, for all the times we've let the Lord down, all the things we have in our life that would stand between Him and a right relationship with Him, right now, we can tell Him we're sorry. I'm sorry, Lord. I'm sorry for the times I've let You down. Ryan Cushing, as a prank, when he was riding around the car with some friends, threw out a 20-pound frozen turkey. But it ended up going through the windshield of Victoria Russell. And she had to go 3 complete surgeries to restore her face. When Ryan was brought to court, facing many years in prison, he broke down and just said, "I'm sorry. I'm sorry. It was stupid, I was wrong, and I'm sorry." And he told Victoria, "I'm sorry that you had to go through that. I'm sorry." You know what Victoria did? She said, "I've already forgiven you." And she pleaded with the judge to give him leniency. And the judge did, because of what she had done. Her attitude. We are to say to the Lord, "I'm sorry. Sorry that I've messed up. Sorry that I've let you down." Which leads right into the next one. Then to request forgiveness. Request forgiveness from Him. We come to the Lord with that remorse for our sins and our shortcomings and our doing good as an old creation. We're sorry for all of that. And ask for His forgiveness. Does He stand ready to forgive? Yes. Do you get the words out of your mouth to Him before He's already forgiven you? And you stand forgiven if you've accepted Him as your Lord and Savior, because He's already paid for everything you've ever done or forever do. He's paid for it. And He stands ready to forgive. Very quickly, there are 2 goats in this feast. There's the goat for the sin offering. Jesus is quick to forgive because He is the sin offering. He gave His life. The one who knew no sin became the sin offering to pay for all of our sins, and that's how come He can be quick to forgive, because He's already paid the price for it. And then there's the scapegoat. That scapegoat that was symbolically laid hands on, and the sins placed upon that goat in a symbolic manner, and that goat was taken out to a place that could never be found again. That's what Jesus does for us. How have you messed up? What have you got in your life? What sins do you have in your life? Request forgiveness. The Lord forgives you, and He takes those sins, and He takes them where they can never be found again, never be accessible again. They're done with. One of the words, meanings for the word atonement in the scriptural language is to wipe out. He wipes them out, and they're no longer to be found. Repent. Repent. This is, all right, we're walking away. We're not supposed to. We turn and we begin to walk with God. Right now, we begin to walk with God. We make that turn. And we don't look back. We just go forward with Christ. Now, anything from the past that needs to be dealt with, this is important truth. As we repent, which simply means to turn around and go the other way, change our thinking. We're going down one path, the wrong path, and we get off that path, we begin walking the way. As we go forward with Christ, anything of our past that needs to be dealt with, Christ will bring that up and lead us to deal with it, but only as we go forward with Him. We're not to try to go back and get back on that other path and try to deal with it. No, we must keep going forward with Christ. Someone has put it like this. Once we repent, all the things of the past, all the keys that have access to the past, and all the things that we've done, say, Lord, I'm going to walk with You. Lord, the keys are Yours. You're going to have to deal with that. You're going to have to work that out. I can't. It's too big for me. I got to keep coming with You, and I'll trust You to make things right, to work things out. And as we do that, the Lord may work, lead us to deal with some things from the past, but only as we walk with Him. Catch something of the spirit of the Apostle Paul, who before he came to Christ, when he was walking down another road, had men and women put to prison and most likely killed. And when he met the Lord on the road and he turned directions and he went with the Lord then, can you imagine the guilt and the darkness that would be there behind Paul, knowing what he had done? Not only to the Lord, but to those who followed him. Can you imagine the faces that he would see of those innocent ones who believed on him as he cold-heartedly had them dragged off to prison to be tortured and many of them put to death? Hear what Paul said. Catch something. I'll confess to you, I seen a movie one time called City Slickers. Some city guys went out to be cowboys for a week. And there was one gruff old cowboy named Curly. And during the time they were there, he said, I tell you, it's all about one thing. But the bad thing, Curly died before he told what that one thing is. But listen to what Apostle Paul says. I tell you, it's one thing. One thing. Forgetting those things which are behind. And I press forward for the upward calling of God in Christ Jesus. Just kept going forward. That's repentance. Return. It's coming home. It's coming home. Stay with me for a few more minutes. Coming home. When I was a young man, probably about Andrew's age, I went to New York City. I don't know why I went to New York City. I think I took a bus there. I didn't know at the time there was a young girl there, born in New York and lived there, being mistreated and tortured and abused. But I went to New York City. And I got down in the middle of New York City, and I had some stuff with me because I guess I was planning on staying. And I got down in the middle of New York City, and I started looking around, coming straight from Missouri. I remember I had black t-shirt on, blue jeans, and some cowboy boots. And I got to looking around, and the first thought came to my mind was, what in the world am I doing here? That was amplified because as I was walking through the heart of New York City, a limousine picked up and the guy asked me if I wanted a ride. I said, sure. I didn't know what I needed to do something. I got in a limousine, this guy in a real nice suit and jewelry and stuff. He said, yeah, he started telling me a little bit about himself. He said, this will age me a little bit. He said, yeah, I was one of the ones that showed Joe Namath around New York when he first came into the city. And he asked me if I had any place to stay, and I said, no, I just got in there. He said, well, I'll tell you what, I know an older woman. You can stay with her, and she'll take care of all the things you need. And I didn't know all what that meant. But I knew I needed to go back home to Missouri. Because that sort of thing didn't happen like that. So I said, no, you can let me out right there. That's where I want to go, right there. And I had a bag, and I remember I had a pair of tennis shoes in there. I took off my boots because I said, if I'm going to hit the hitchhike back home, and there's going to be some walking, those boots aren't going to do it. And I took the boots off and everything else except for food, put my tennis shoes on, set the boots and whatever little clothing here, a little pile there in the street of New York City, and started heading back to home hitchhiking. The Lord has looked after me. Took two rides to get all the way to Missouri. Someone let me out within a few blocks of home. I was going home. I was going home. Wherever you've wandered, wherever you've strayed, God says, just come home. Just go home. Turn around, get up from where you are, and come home. If we come home to God, make sure our relationship is right with Him, then we'll be ready to stand before Him one day. We need to rest in the Lord. Atonement, break it down, at one month. At one with the Lord, resting in here. It requires making low the soul. The soul, as an old creation, lifts itself up to a lofty position in place of our as our own God. We need to make low our soul. We need to make sure our soul stays in a dependent condition before God. We are to be dependent upon Him, servant to Him, to follow Him, and not allow ourselves to rise up and to get puffed up and to be rule our own lives. Two more. Refined. We now need to allow the Lord to refine us. We'll be ready for that terrible day, and I'm not going to do this because of time. If I brought corn, it's not exact parallel, but you husk this, I understand. Jim, we got a running joke in our family. Jim and Judy gave me some corn. And I said, I don't know how many times, and he must have had a prophetic word because he told me three or four times at least, you boil it 3 to 5 minutes. And so it came time to boil it, and my wife was asking, is that long enough? I said, well, you know, just boil it longer. You know, anytime you boil something longer, it gets softer. So on my assistance and on my assurance, she boiled it longer, and it was a little tough to eat. I ate it. With a smile on my face, I ate it, but it was a little tough to eat. But, won't do this, but this is not good, even if you boil it right. It's not good to eat right like this. You got to get the stuff off of it and get down to what's good to eat. And some of the outside's a little easier to get to. You take it away. Take it away until you get down to those strings. I don't know if they have a name or not, but what? Silk. So I got a brother who lives in a state that they're known for husking corn. Get that. Corn huskers. I could have asked him, but he wouldn't know either. You pull it off. What God does, He strips the old creation away from us. He strips the old away from us. And some of it comes off easier. Get down to some of that silk. Some of that comes away, but then some of it gets pretty hard to get to, doesn't it? And so finally I understood, if I got it right, you just boil it. When you get as much as you can, you boil it, and it takes care of a lot of it, and it's good to eat. Right now, you may go through some tough times, you may go through some difficult times. If you're following the Lord, let Him refine you. He's wanting to strip away all the old creation, all the stuff that doesn't belong in your life, even the good stuff that's really not good stuff, that seems good, but it's not good because it doesn't come from Him. He wants to strip it all away. And then when it comes down to fine-tuning you, He's getting down to pulling that silk out so that when you stand before the Lord one day, you're going to be a good ear of corn. You're going to be good fruit for Him. And you'll be glad He's done that. Last one is reformat. Reformat. I live in a small, quiet world, and I use a computer, but I only use it from word processing mostly. We tinker around with the website, which was down for a little while, but it's back up now. That's about it. But one day I had a great idea saying, if I could watch TV on my computer, I could save money on the cable bill. We just cut out cable. So I started looking around, searching for some places where you could let you watch TV through the computer for free. And I did get to see some old episodes of Twilight Zone. That was good. But Rod Sterling got the best of me because apparently I got some nasty viruses on my little computer. And it started doing all kinds of strange things, and it did everything. It worked perfectly doing everything I did not want it to do and nothing I wanted it to do. So I asked Andrew about it. What do you do? He says, you're supposed to put guards on? I said, I tell you what I do. That's what I, he says, I do it all the time. You just reformat it. And it just wipes it out, everything that's on there, and you start anew. It's like having a new computer. So I did. So I reformatted it. It cleans everything off, and it's like having a new computer. And I still pay my cable bill. But they don't have Twilight Zone, so I don't know. What a wonderful grace and gift it is. God says, no matter where you're at any time in your life, you can reformat. You can reformat right now. Start new. Let the past go. I'm interested in right now, God would say to us, reformat. Make the commitment to live for me now. Are you ready to stand before the Lord? We have a song of invitation. Hymn number 309. Let's stand together. Will you make sure your heart is where it needs to be before you leave this service, so that if the trumpet should sound before the last amen is said today in this service, you'll be ready. Let's stand together. Let's make this a song of commitment.